Hallelujah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get right into our lesson tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We bless you. We thank you for Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you have called us. And you have anointed us and appointed us and given us a ministry. And you've graced us with spiritual gifts and abilities of God. And we thank you as we continue in this lesson and looking into these truths that you would give us understanding, you would give us insight concerning personally, Lord, those things that you have deposited in us. Lord, we want to be good stewards. We want to discover, we want to develop, and we want to put them into use to edify and to build up your body. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit tonight to open our understanding and to teach us these truths. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Last time we were talking about, in Lesson 3, finding your ministry, we talked about both natural gifts and spiritual gifts, and we said that everyone has received some, which we have to discover. Everyone is to utilize them, which means that there is obedience required of us, that everyone can increase them, and we have to cultivate them, and then that everyone will be rewarded according to faithfulness. Faithfulness. And this is very important that we remind ourselves of that. Because as human beings, and in our culture especially, we're very prone to compare ourselves among ourselves. You know, we look at this person and say, well, look what they're doing, look what I'm doing, and I don't know what I'm doing. Listen, if you are using the gift and the anointing, if you are being faithful, if you've discovered it, if you're cultivating, you're being obedient, you're using that, then God says the reward is based on faithfulness. It's not based on the fact that, you know, that God called one to be apostle and another one to be an usher, and he says, okay, the apostle is going to get a greater reward because, you know, God's the one that gave us the gift, so we can't brag on that. No matter what anointing, no matter what ability you have, God gave it to you. So all the boasting's in God. So it's based on, our reward is based on faithfulness. Not on what you do, but on are you faithful in what you do for God. Then we talked about the spiritual gifts. Remember, we said that they're supernatural. We have to recognize that they're given by the Spirit, and they are for the benefit of others. Remember in 1 Corinthians 12, he said the manifestation, and we looked at that word manifestation means to shine forth and make visible. And when we allow the manifestation of our gift to come forth, then what? It makes visible. It reveals things, not only ministered to in the lives of people, but it also makes visible the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Whatever you and I do, it is a reflection in some measure, in some way, it is a reflection of Him, of who He is. It's a part of who He is, because we are the body. Amen? Amen. Are you still out there? Okay, just checking. I'm just reviewing a little bit because, you know, some water's gone under your bridge since last week. Then we said, recognize that you are placed in the body and anointed by God. And I want to touch on this a little more. 2 Corinthians 1:21, it says, He who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God. Now, I want to talk just a little bit more. I touched on this, but I want to get into it just a little bit more in depth. Talking about the anointing, because it says that He who's anointed us is God. Now, you need to realize, every one of you are anointed of God. Thank you. It's true. Now, let me just give you, this is just my definition of the anointing. Of course, the technical definition, the theological definition, means virtue or power or that which proceeds from the Holy Spirit. But then I'm going to give you the Braswell definition here, okay, from what I see and understand anyway. The anointing is the power of God and is that which enables the person upon which it rests to do whatever it is he is called to do. Amen? See, this is why we're wrong just to try to compare our anointing with somebody else's, because if God didn't call you to do the same thing, the anointing's not going to be the same. And if God called you to do something, then the anointing will be there to enable you, to empower you to do it. And it will produce fruit, and it will produce edification, and it will produce blessing, and it will impact and change people's lives according to the gifting and the purpose of that gifting and anointing. And so here's the thing. Anointing, you know, is compared many times in the scriptures to oil. And so here's the thing. It's just like running your car. Your car engine runs so much better when you got oil in it. Isn't that true? It's just smoother. It's just, it reduces the friction and all of that. So we need to understand that when we are doing something that we're really called to, and there should be an anointing there. And I'm like the country brother, you know, somebody's asked him, he said, you keep talking about this ointment. What's this ointment stuff? He said, you know, this anointing and an ointment and all that. He said, what is that? He said, well, I don't know what it is. He said, but I know when it ain't. I think I agree with him, don't you? We may not know altogether what it is, we understand, but we know when it ain't. Isn't that right? And when it ain't, it's painful, isn't it? Doesn't matter what it is. And many times, this is the problem in the body of Christ, is that people are trying to do something they are not gifted and anointed to do. And so, they're frustrated, they become discouraged, and it's just difficult. And then, when they're trying to do that, I mean, there's no oil there. So a lot of times it causes friction. You know what I mean by friction, right? We won't go there. So according to the call, 1 John chapter 2, let's turn over there and look at this. I just had touched on this, but I felt like we needed to talk about it maybe just a little bit more about the anointing. 1 John 2, because, you know, in our circles, we hear a lot about it, and sometimes, words or catchphrases are thown around, in our circles, full gospel circles or whatever, and, we just kind of nod our heads and, right, the anointing, right, but sometimes we don't really understand it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, he says, John, the Apostle John's writing to believers, he says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Down in verse 27, he says, As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Now, I like to call this the believer's anointing. This is irrespective of whatever gift or calling you may have. Every believer has this anointing. Of course, we know the anointing is what? The Holy Spirit. He dwells within us. And his anointing of the Holy Spirit, the primary foundational anointing of the Holy Spirit, is to do exactly what Jesus said, is that he will become your teacher, your guide, and he will guide you into all truth. He bears witness. Whether you're hearing somebody teach like this, or whether you're reading for yourself, or wherever it is, if you will be sensitive and be in tune with the anointing, with the Holy Spirit within you, he will let you know. He will bear witness whether or not what you are hearing is truth. Amen. And we need to be sensitive to that. Isn't that right? Because it can happen one of two ways. Some people can purposely try to mislead you. And other people, because they're human, can do it without meaning to. But like I always say, whether you step out in front of an 18-wheeler on purpose or by accident, the results are about the same, isn't it? So this is why, and this is so important that we cultivate this sensitivity. We recognize this anointing because he will bear witness with you. And it's good because the Holy Spirit then will either put a stamp of approval or he will bring a correction to what you're hearing. And either way benefits you because that keeps you what? From getting into error. Now, without getting into it all, in the day when John wrote this, there were all kinds of false teachers going around. The Gnostics, there was a group called Gnostics teaching Gnosticism. It was basically that Jesus was a god, and basically the tenet of it was is there was somewhere way out there was the Creator God, and there were emanations created by each succeeding created being, and Jesus was one of those. And of course, you know, in their scheme, you had to go through all of these until you finally reached enlightenment. And this is why Paul was, and you know, and of course, naturally, you had to come to me because I'm the one that's got the knowledge. Right. Well, you see where that led, didn't you? People controlling people. People doing that. So John's writing to him. He said, listen, you have an anointing. You have an anointing. You know what this tells me? That God has never set up, whether it's ministry offices or whatever it is, you know, here's the thing. There is only one Lord and Master, and that is Jesus Christ. And God never made any other man or woman to be your master. They are, as Paul said, we are helpers in your faith. Amen? And see, this is why if we will recognize and cultivate this believer's anointing, we won't be taken in by all that stuff. Where people say, well, you got to do what I say. You got to listen to me. I'm this or I'm that. Well, we're all glad you're all this and all that. But listen, we have an anointing. Amen. And that anointing says, that ain't it. Amen. Listen, learn to trust that anointing. Learn to trust it. Amen. An anointing can be temporary to perform a work, or it can be something that is that you're anointed to. Like if you stand in a particular office or you're used in a particular way on a regular ongoing basis. For example, you know, if you read over in the Old Testament especially, you'll read where at times, like for example, Samson said the Spirit of God came on him. Well, that meant if he came on him, he wasn't on him before, was he? Otherwise, he couldn't have come on him. That's deep, isn't it, Shazam? Impressing you with my theology. But, you know, it would come on him, and, you know, he'd do some feat of strength, wouldn't he? But it wasn't on him all the time. He couldn't just rip the doors off and carry them off anytime he wanted to. He could only do that, what, when the Spirit came on him. Isn't that right? And so the anointing is that the Spirit of God will come on you, and at times the Spirit of God can come on you and anoint you for a certain thing at a certain time to perform something. But that doesn't necessarily mean you can do that anytime you want to. That's just like the gifts of the Spirit over there in 1 Corinthians 12. Well, you can't just come up with a word of knowledge anytime you want to. I wish we could. Man, it would be great if there was a switch over there you could flip on. You can't just decide, well, Sunday when I come, praise God, I'm gonna manifest the gifts of healings. I'm going to heal everybody in the church. It'd be great if you could, but you can't. Because what he says is as the Spirit wills. So there's some anointings that are like that. There are other anointings that abide upon you in a somewhat permanent way, you know. For example, if God calls you to a particular office, to stand in that office, well, that anointing doesn't come and go. Whether it's a pastor's office or an evangelist's office or whatever, it doesn't come and go. It comes and abides because that's an office that you stand in. And so we need to understand how these work. And especially with the gifts of the Spirit, we need to be sensitive because when that anointing comes on us, then we need to step out and be bold and exercise that anointing. You ever notice over there that Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul, never gave any real detailed information on how the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom work, how the gifts of healing work? But yet he went into great detail about prophecy and especially tongues and interpretation of tongues. You ever wondered about that? Because it seemed like to me, boy, if ever there needed to be more instruction, let's hear about these greater gifts, man, how those things work and everything. Well, here's the thing. With the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, you can't just drum that up. You can't just make that happen. But you could speak out anytime you want to. But here's the thing. If you speak out and it's not by the anointing or the unction of the Spirit, then guess what? It's not going to edify, it's not going to bless, and it's not going to uplift. But see, I can talk anytime I want to. So I believe that the reason that the Holy Spirit gave more instruction on that is because we have more control over that. Amen? Because I can talk whenever I want to, whether I'm anointed or not, I can talk. I can try to give a prophecy, whether I'm anointed or not. I can try to give a message in tongues or an interpretation, whether I'm anointed or not. But you can't just decide, okay, come on up here. The gifts of healings are on me now. And I mean, it doesn't matter what disease you've got. Yeah, you just come on up here, you're going to be healed. You can't control it that way. So we need to recognize when the anointing of God is upon us, then that is the time that we need to exercise that anointing and that gift. Turn over, if you will, to Mark chapter 5. I hope I'm not confusing you. I hope I'm making it clear. Mark 5. The anointing has to flow, for lack of a better way to put it. It just has to flow. That's the best term I've ever heard, and that's my little experience in it. That seems to be the way it works. It's got to flow. You know, and for something to flow, there's got to be certain parameters. If we compare it to electricity, there are certain parameters that govern the flow of electricity. Isn't that right? Because, we know this living here in Florida. When a hurricane comes through, it interrupts some of those laws, doesn't it? Interrupts some of those principles, and you don't get no flow of electricity. You know, you hear all these, machines out running, they're trying to create some. And the same thing can be true when it comes to the anointing and the Spirit. It flows like electricity. And we know electricity has to flow from one contact to another, doesn't it? It has to flow from one contact to another. And the same thing is true with the anointing. There has to be a flow. Someone has to be anointed. Someone else has to be what? The contact to receive the flow of that anointing. And here in Mark 5, we see it very clearly in the ministry of Jesus. Mark 5, verse 25. You know the story. Jairus has come to get him. He's on his way to heal his daughter. It says a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding. You know the story. 12 years. Suffered a great deal under many physicians. She didn't get any better. She grew worse. She heard about Jesus. She came up behind him in the crowd, touched his cloak, because she thought, if I touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? Well, he's in a big throng of people. Probably all kind of people were touching him, bumping into him, some touching him, curiosity touch, hope and touch, can't ever tell, might get something. But this one woman, as far as we know, at least in this time frame here, this one woman was the only one who received something from Jesus. Now, was that because Jesus only wanted to heal her and nobody else? See, that's what we've come up with in our theology. Because we see that some get healed and some don't. So our theology is God wants to heal some and don't want to heal others. But what we need to do is maybe look just a little bit deeper and notice, first of all, this woman had heard of Jesus, didn't she? She had heard of Jesus. What's the reason for teaching about the gifts? Well, just like she had heard of Jesus, she must have heard that Jesus was used this way. She must have heard that Jesus was healing people, that people were getting healed in the ministry of Jesus. And the same thing about teaching about our gifts and each of us discovering our gifts and exercising those gifts is what? We got to know what gifts you got. Because I can't receive from you if I don't know you got it. Because with that gift is an anointing. And I can't receive from you until I know that you're anointed. That's the starting point. This woman evidently said she heard about Jesus. Well, what was she needing? Healing. What had she obviously heard? Well, among other things, he healed. So she went to this woman, and evidently she had some insight that some others didn't have. Because she said, man, if I can just get to Jesus and touch his robe. Well, she wasn't thinking superstitiously that the robe was going to do something. But what was it? She knew this. Jesus had a power, an anointing, a power that emanated from Jesus. And when that power touched people, they were healed. So she says, all I got to do is get to him. If I can get to him and just touch his clothes, that flow, that power, that anointing will come into me and I'll be healed. And we read here, she was conscious of the fact that that power come into her, wasn't she? She felt in her body. She was made whole. Jesus was conscious what that it went out from him. Because he says, Jesus realized that what power, if you read there, virtue, anointing, power, went out from him. And you remember your scriptures in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing. So what was that anointing and power? Part of it was what? For healing. So, but here's the thing. What I want us to look at is the principle is the same. Whatever your gifting is, there is an anointing that accompanies it. And if I know what your gifting is, okay, and like this woman, I will believe and come in contact with my faith with your anointing, that gift will be put into motion and the anointing will be released and I'll receive the benefit. And so this is why we need to discover what our gifts are. And we need the body as a whole. We need to begin to learn how each of us are anointed. Come on. Because the anointing has nothing to do with the person or the personality of a person per se. We see this. You're right there. Look over there in Mark 6. You're right there. Now compare this woman that we just read about. Jesus, verse 4, he's in his hometown and everything. 6:4 Mark. Jesus said, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there. I want you, this is Jesus, the Son of God, deity, the Spirit without measure, without sin, perfect, God-man, could do no miracle. Didn't say he wouldn't, said he couldn't. Boy, I tell you what, that's heavy duty. God couldn't do a miracle. See, we got this out. Well, God can do anything, anytime he wants to. God's all powerful. He can just do whatever he wants to. That's where we've missed it. Notice what it says here. Except he's laid his hand on a few sick people. If you read that out in the Greek, it says people with minor ailments. Few sick people and healed them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. One translation says at their unbelief. And he marveled at their unbelief. So here's the thing. Just like in the natural, certain things can happen to short circuit electricity, can it? No matter how powerful electricity is, something can short circuit it. And sometimes it can be something very innocuous. That can just fall on the lines or grounded out or whatever. Just the most mundane thing. My brother has gone on to be with the Lord. He used to work for power companies when they climbed the pole and worked on them and everything. And he said, you'd be surprised, man. You'd go up there, you know, something would be shorted it out. And it'd be, you know, you see what's left of a squirrel or you see the beak of a bird up there. All that was left was the beak. Everything else got this, you know. So something innocuous like that. Even though the power itself, in and of itself, was greater than the thing that shorted it out. It was still able to short it out. And even though, yes, God is all power, God's anointing, God's Spirit is greater and powerful, it can still be shorted out by unbelief. And that's what, that is, therein lies the problem. Because Jesus here, okay, his anointing could not manifest fully. His light, manifestation means to make visible, the light of God that was in him, that was upon him, could not shine out fully in Nazareth. Now notice this one woman, all she did was touch the hem of his clothes, and she was made completely well. She got a supernatural miracle in her body. But here he is preaching a whole message. She never got a message preached to, as far as we know. She'd heard about him. But here he was preaching a full message. There he is on purpose, And yet they received nothing. And so we need to understand that same principle. And what was the problem here? They looked at Jesus in his personality rather than in his anointing. I'm going to say that again. They looked at Jesus in his personality rather than in his anointing. Notice, back up there a minute. You know, let's back up to verse 1, Mark 6, 1. Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that's been given to him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? See, here's where they begin to get off track right here. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and brother and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Why? They looked at the person and not at the anointing. And listen, the same thing happens in the body of Christ so often. You know, we look at people in their humanity. Maybe we're aware of certain flaws that they have, certain shortcomings, this, that, or the other, whatever it may be. And immediately, what does that do? We shut ourselves off from the gift that is in them. Come on, it happens. You know it's so. It happens all the time. You know, this is why Jesus said, "Woe to those who cause offense." People get offended at the pastor immediately. If you get offended at the pastor, you either need to get it right or you need to move on, because you're not going to get anything. Come on. I'm just trying to help you out. It's true. Because you won't be able to receive, just like these people couldn't receive. And you come and sit and you're all mad at the pastor and, you know, and you don't like this and you don't like that. You're not going to get anything. You're not going to receive. So you'd be better off to either, you know, forgive and get that thing worked out, or either just say, well, you know, I'm going to move on. But you're not going to get anything as long as, what, there's something there is short-circuiting the flow. And I've had people tell me, you know, well, I don't come to church because I don't get anything out of it. Well, you're telling on yourself. Isn't that right? Because you've got all these gifted, anointed believers of the body of Christ all around you, and you're telling me you don't get anything. Then something's wrong, not with the body, something's wrong with you. Isn't that right? And that's what we need to be honest with ourselves about and need to recognize. So as we recognize each of us individually, our gifts, then what we need to do is to see that gift as something given from God that also has an anointing. And I want to tell you what. I love when God's anointing touches my life. I am better. I said, I am better. Some said, well, that's one of those least gifts. Well, I'll take it. The Bible says the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of man. I'll take the foolish gift. I'll take that. You don't want it, I'll take it. Amen. Because God would not put it in the body if I didn't need it. Isn't that true? Absolutely. It's for my benefit. We looked at that, haven't we? So this anointing, we need to understand the anointing flows, but we've got to understand this. If we're going to come in contact with that anointing, there's got to be some faith. And to be faith, there's got to be expectancy. And to be expectancy, we have got to look beyond each other after the flesh and begin to see the gifting and anointing God's put upon each one of us. Because you can't have expectancy. If all you see is the human personality and its flaws and its weakness, I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to get much, if anything, from the gift that's in that person. Amen? I mean, you know, God calls imperfect people. Nothing new about that, is it? I hope it's not a revelation to you. Well, you know, because I've heard people, well, I just don't think I'm ready yet. I've never met anybody yet that thought they were ready. Amen. Amen. I've never met anybody yet that thought they were ready. Man, you know, that ain't going to wash. Remember, you know, the prophet said, Lord, I'm too young. Another one said, Lord, I'm too old. The other one says, Lord, I'm a woman. I mean, you know, we all got our excuses, don't we? None of them washed with God. So expectation is a key factor in drawing from the anointing. Remember how many times Jesus would ask people, do you believe I can do this? Do you believe I can, in this case, healing? Do you believe I can make you whole? See, because if you don't believe, then you're not going to receive anything. There's no expectancy. And too many times we're coming into church and our expectancy is so low. I know this. We get and we receive what we expect. If you expect little, if you believe for little, then you get little. Stop complaining to God. Amen? Because here's the thing. It's not just the person who's anointed that they have their part to play. But then the other part is there has to be an expectation. There has to be a connection. Just like the woman versus the people in Nazareth. And when we come together as the body of Christ and all of us with our giftings and our anointings, our expectation ought to be sky high. Amen? Not because the preacher's some hotshot thing or this person's some hotshot thing or we got the best of this or the best of that. No, when we come together, it's all these gifts of the put in the body, set in there by God Himself, each one having a manifestation, an anointing, and all of those if we have an expectation. Listen, why is it that many times when the church comes together, people leave and do not get their need met? Well, the pastor just wasn't up to snuff this week. Now, that can be the case. I'm not saying it couldn't be. But here's the thing. We've got to get beyond this thing that the pastor is going to meet everybody. The anointing that's on him is going to meet everybody's needs. If that's true, why are you anointed? Isn't that right? No, we need to come expecting that every need will be met by the gifts and anointings that are in the whole body. I think if we would do that, number one, we'd see more people's needs met. And number two, we'd be less likely to be critical of the pastor because everybody's needs wasn't met. You know, pastoring's kind of like a quarterback on a team. You know, they get when the team works good, they get too much credit. And when the team is sorry, they get too much blame. Isn't that's the way it is, isn't it? When everything's going great, the pastor gets a lot more credit than he should. I'm being honest. And when it's not, he gets the blame. But and I think because of what? That's what our expectation is. We have expectation for one gift. And sometimes we don't have a whole lot for it. And you know, that's why, you know, some people can come to a meeting and they can leave and they say, man, I'm temple. Man, what a meeting we had. Man, I was blessed. Man, that was so good. And somebody else said, I'm telling you what, I go, I'll never get nothing. And they were both at the same meeting. Wait a minute here. What's going on? Huh? And so we need to understand that. But let's let our understanding go beyond just expecting from one gift. Let's understand. Listen, all of us are gifted. All of us are anointed. And all of those gifts and anointing come together, I believe, have the potential to meet every need that's at any given time and as the church comes together. But we want one person to do it. That's why people will, you know, will go to this person that's being used in a certain way. Everybody will go over there. Then they hear about somebody else and everybody will go over there. You know, we got a caravan church. They caravan from church to church to church. You know, I used to call them cruise-o-matics. Instead of charismatic, they're cruise-o-matics. But here's the thing. It's time for us to grow up, isn't it? Listen, you have an anointing. We need your anointing. I'm just going to tell you right here at Grace. We need your anointing. That's the reason we endeavor to help you discover it and to help provide an atmosphere where you can begin to use it, cultivate it, use it, because we need it. I need it. Okay. It is by the anointing that our lives are transformed into the perfect will of God. Amen? Now listen, no one anointing I'm talking about humanly speaking. Now, Jesus had the Spirit without measure. That tells me what? You and I do not. So here's the thing. So that means that no one person, no matter how good they preach, no matter how good they teach, no matter what place they've arrived at, as wonderful as all that is and to be admired and so forth, it still doesn't mean that one person is going to be able to meet every need of your life. If I could come to the place where I didn't need you, then that would make me independent. Are you listening? And we have a lot of that in the body of Christ. You know, I've heard this as long as I've been saved. You know, well, I'll tell you one thing, preacher. I just don't think I need nobody but me and Jesus. Well, I wish you would read the Bible and not be so ignorant. Okay? You know, ignorant means lack of knowledge. I didn't say they were stupid. I said they were ignorant. I'm ignorant about some things. Hey, man, I don't know it all. But here's the thing. We need to understand. We need, that makes me what? That makes me, I need you. We've got this attitude, I don't need anybody. I don't need you. I don't need you. I'll talk about you. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll criticize. I don't need you. Well, we need to understand, are you going to feel that way when you get to heaven? Well, you know, we're all going to be there working together, and you're going to be the only one. You're going to have your spot way off over there somewhere with a sign on it. He don't need nobody. We need one another. Okay, let me give you three elements real quickly. If you want to activate, draw on the anointing. First thing is recognition. We got to see the gift and not the purpose or the person. I touched on this. But recognize, we got to recognize. In Nazareth, they didn't recognize who Jesus was. Paul said, we now no longer know anybody after the flesh. I look at you as in Christ. I look at the gift that's in you. I look at the anointing that's flowing out from that. That's what I want to receive from. Because any of us, if we get into our flesh, I want to tell you what, it's not going to be very pretty. Second is, we have to learn to respect the anointing. Respect it. Who it's from, why it was given, and what it can do for those who will receive it. I respect it. And you know what? That will help me too in respecting everyone in the body. That I will esteem you. Amen? We need to grow in that area, I think, in the body of Christ, where we esteem one another. We esteem one another for many reasons, this being one of them. I esteem you because what? Number one, of course, you're a brother in Christ. You're a sister in Christ. But also what? You're anointed. You're gifted. And by me respecting that and esteeming that, what I begin to be able to draw on the anointing that's on you. And you know, here's the thing. You can just be fellowshipping with somebody. There's people that I know that I recognize the anointing and the calling of God on, and we don't have to be in a church service. We can just be what we're calling fellowshipping. A lot of times, I've gotten a word of wisdom from them. Just start talking about things. Next thing you know, man, they said something they didn't even know. They told me that, but I did. I got a word of wisdom. Ooh, boy, that was good. Come on. I got a word of wisdom from them. We weren't in a church service. We just might have been having a cup of coffee, just standing on the way out from a service. What? Because what? We esteem one another. Because it does, you know, the anointing doesn't just flow when we get, you know, okay, we're all in a row. We got this, we got that, we got this. Okay, now it'll flow. No, it'll flow at any time. And the more I respect that, the more I recognize that, the more I receive from it. So recognition, respect, and then the third one is response. So it's the three R's. Response, that means what? Expectancy. I draw on it by faith. I draw on it by faith. You know, you and I are fellowshipping, we're talking. Man, I'm expecting that gift in you. It's going to bless me. Maybe God's got the gift of exhortation in you. Boy, I love to be exhorted. Don't you? Sure. I love to be exhorted, to be encouraged. Don't you like that? Man, I come away from you, and man, I've just feasted on that anointing that's on you. And I come out of there, man, my faith is all buoyed up, man, and I'm like, bless God, yes, I can do it. Isn't that true? That's what it should be, whatever our gifting is. Or I get around somebody, they're anointed to pray. Man, guess who I'm going to get to pray? I'm going to find somebody that's anointed to do that. Amen? Because the anointing gets results. Amen? All right. Let's go back over to our lesson there in lesson three. I just wanted to touch on some things about the anointing. There's a lot more we could say about it. But rather than just touch on it and let it go. But let's respect the anointing that's on one another. Let's respect the anointing that is on us, both the believer's anointing that teaches and guides us and the anointing that's on us in the giftings. The giftings. And one of the ways you can find out, you know, what your calling is, we've talked about this, is begin to recognize what anointing is upon your life. How does God use you? How does God use you? Because all of us, if we've been saved very long, we'll begin to recognize a track record, so to speak, in our life. Isn't that right? Some people, now, we can all be used in similar fashion at times, but then there are others that are gifted, and they're anointed, and they operate in that way much more frequently and with better results. Amen? Some people in the area of prayer, some people in the area of healing, some people in the area of teaching, whatever it may be. And when we recognize that, you know, and we recognize that they're anointed, then guess what? When I want healing, guess who I want to look up? Well, yeah, you could pray for me, and I'd be glad for you to. But if somebody, I know somebody, we got somebody in the body that's gifted that way and is anointed that way and God uses that way, then guess what we ought to get to? Isn't that right? Were to get to those people. And if we would do that in all these different areas, then guess what? We'd all get better results. We'd all be stronger as a body. We'd all be more frequently receive what we need from God. But instead, you know, we want one or two people to do it all. And here's the thing. Don't be afraid. You know, once you discover your gifting and your anointing, then, you know, that eliminates fear. Because it's not me that does it. Even Jesus himself, remember what he said? Pardon me. He said, it's the Father in me that doeth the works. He said, I can of my own self do nothing. Well, if Jesus of his own self could do nothing, you know where that leaves us, right? But the other side of the coin is this. He said, but the Father in me. Well, who's in you? The Father, by the Holy Spirit. He's in you. The Holy Spirit. The gifting, the anointing is in you. It's the gift, the anointing that we learn to draw on, we learn to look to, we learn to respect and to recognize and to respond to. And then what? We have great confidence, don't we? Not because I have necessarily, you have confidence in me as a man, or I have confidence in you as a man after the flesh, but I have confidence in God. Have confidence in that gift. Have confidence in that anointing. And so if we can get everybody in their anointing, you know, the Bible talks about an anointing for administration. Amen? I'm not anointed for that. I can do it, but I'm not anointed for that. You know, because when you find somebody that's anointed to that, and you find your gifting and your anointing, I mean, you just love it. Like one man says, you just feel like you fell on a barrel of honey. Oh, this is the great. Isn't that true? And some people can see what you do and they think, oh, God, I would never want to do that. Man, I wouldn't want to do that. That's the last thing in the world I want to do. I know, with Beverly and Roger, I guarantee you've had people tell this over the years. Man, y'all trotting all over the world and the globe, man, talking about where you slept and what you ate and all the hours you put in. I mean, they tell you, man, I'm glad I ain't called to do that. But I mean, you guys, I mean, you love it. I love it, man. What's the matter with you guys? Are you crazy? Man, this is great. I feel sorry for you because you're not called to what? That's what we're talking about. And what we learn to do is to recognize that and appreciate it. You know, that anointing is not better than the anointing to administrate. They both are necessary. We recognize both. We value both. We appreciate both. Because God wants order in his house. Amen. Yeah, we want healing. We want all these things. But God also wants order. Amen. And I'm glad for those who are called and anointed to administrate and love to do that stuff. They love to sit in the office and do all that stuff, and it's great and it's needed, and I'm not one of them, but I'm glad for them. Amen. I appreciate them. All right, let's get back and talk about preparation for ministry. We've got just a few minutes left. I'm on page 10 in the notes. I'm kind of heading there now. Preparation for ministry, Romans 12. He says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. What is he meaning by that? In other words, part of how we see ourselves has to do with our gifting. Amen? Some people, you know this example from the Old Testament. If anybody other than the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, guess what? That was your last act in this life. Isn't that right? They died. They fell dead. Why? Because they weren't called to that. They didn't have the anointing and the calling to do that. And anybody that presumed to think that way of themselves, they were straightened out in a hurry if they ever made it that far. Isn't that right? Why? They were thinking of themselves more highly than they ought. And especially if you tried to push yourself into a place where you're not called and anointed, I'm telling you what, you'll get into trouble in a hurry. And not only will you get into trouble, you'll get people who listen to you into trouble too. Because you're not called and anointed to do that. And you try to push yourself into an office or into a ministry that you're not gifted and anointed to do. And I'm going to tell you what, it's going to cause all kind of havoc and turmoil and confusion, not only in your life, but in those around you. Isn't that true? And we've seen that happen. And so he says, think soberly concerning your calling. Now, we're all equal as far as brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're talking about ministry now. You understand that? That's. I want to make sure I'm not misunderstood there. Because I'm not better than you and you're not better than me. We're equal in that way. But when it comes to ministry, I got to think soberly of myself according as God has graced me. You got to think that way according as God has graced you. Amen. But to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Know this, along with your gifting you discover, along with your anointing, there will be a measure of faith enabling you to exercise that gift. Are you listening? I mean, you've heard the story of Smith. Everybody know who Smith Wigglesworth was? You've heard the story, you know. One time, he raised several people from the dead. One of the stories, you know, he went and of course, in those days, they didn't have the funeral parlor. They just, you know, they just had you laid out at home there, you know, and they weren't embalmed or anything. They were just out there. And so, you know, he comes to this, you know, I guess they're having a little reception or thing there, and they got whoever it was that was laid out there, you know, and everything. And Wigglesworth's in there, you know, and he ain't there for more than a few minutes, and everybody's kind of meeting over here, and they got the body over here in the parlor in the next room. Next thing you know, Wigglesworth's in there pulling that body out of the coffin. Well, I want to tell you what. That ain't for everybody. I said, that ain't for everybody. You know, and I've had people that, I'm telling you the truth, I've had people that read that about Smith Wigglesworth, and they wanted to go do it. I'm serious. They wanted to go do it. I'm like, hey, you know. But here's the thing, see, and of course, the end of the story with him is, of course, they were raised up. But here's the thing, he was anointed and called in that area, and he had what? The measure of faith to go with that. You and I, if we're not called to that, you'll strip a gear. You'll have a spiritual hernia, as I call it. You know, you're not going to get results. Isn't that right? And so we look at that, and then we go back and say, well, I don't understand why it worked for him and it didn't work for this one. Well, it's obvious you didn't understand that, or you never would have done that. Amen? And he did it. He wasn't acting presumptuously. He was acting, what, within what God had called him. But if I tried to do that, I would be, what Paul said, I would be thinking more highly of myself in the area of ministry than I ought. Because I'm trying to do something that I'm not gifted. I know I'm not called to do that. I know I don't have the measure of faith to do that. But I'm going to try to do it anyway. That's presumption. And on the outside, it may look like we're both doing the same thing. But the results will tell the story. Isn't that right? You know, it's all right if you do that. But make sure, just like Wigglesworth, you know, that it works. Otherwise, you're going to have some splaining to do to the family. Amen. We may have to come bail you out or something. I mean, you know. Come on. Folks, don't take highly when you start jerking dad or grandma out of the coffin. That don't go over well unless you get the results he got. Then they'll probably forgive you. Three things real quickly. In preparation for ministry. And of course, I won't have time to elaborate on these tonight. But these are important if we're going to come to a place to where we can develop the gift and the ministry God's called us, the gift, the anointing there. All of these are important. Otherwise, you're going to have a hit and miss type of ministry or use of the gift that God's given you. And that's what we see a lot of. It's kind of hit and miss, you know. When we see somebody that has really developed their gift and their anointing, boy, we look at them and we go, wow. I don't care what it is. If it's worship, if it's playing an instrument, if whatever it is. I mean, when they have taken the time to develop that and spend the time with God and develop that anointing and that gifting, whether it's natural or spiritual, I'm telling you what, the fruit that it brings forth and the anointing that flows from it and the blessing it produces in all of our lives, boy, we recognize it, don't we? Absolutely. So if we want to have our gifting and the anointing that's on us, whatever area it may be in, these three things are going to have to be present. You're going to have to do something with this. The first thing, notice what he says here in these verses, present your body a living sacrifice. This is where we call a majority of believers, because it's not easy to present your body as a living sacrifice. You know, sometimes it's easier to die once for the gospel than it is to die daily for the gospel. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Isn't that true? Sure it is. You might be willing to die one time. I mean, you know, yeah, I'll die for the Lord here and that. You know, that's it. But to die every day? And he said here, he said to present your body, what? He said, by the mercies of God, present your body as a living and holy sacrifice. So we got to present our bodies. Because if the flesh rules you, the Spirit cannot. I said the Spirit cannot. I didn't say he would not. I said he cannot. So here's the thing. Unless we learn to present our bodies as... I'm not talking about, you know, where you're going off and you're beating yourself, you know, with a stick and you're crawling over glass. I'm not talking about that. But we have to. There has to be a regular where we say no to the body. No to the appetites. No to this and no to that, and have those times, because without that you will never really pursue God to the degree to discover what your gifts are, let alone develop them. Most Christians live and die and never really discover what their ministry is or utilize their ministry gifts. And I don't say that to discourage you. I'm just saying it's because what? They never learn to what? Put their body under. You know, I was thinking about it the other day. Isn't it interesting? You're familiar with the letters Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. especially the 1 Corinthians. You know, in all that mess that was going on, not one time, I went back and looked through it, not one time did he say anything about devil or spirits at work. I mean, they were getting drunk. Guys were sleeping with their, you know, with their stepmothers. All this kind of junk going on, all kind of stuff. Not one. You back read it. It made me. God said, did you ever notice that? And I thought, all the times I read that, I said, no. Man, that's got to, I mean, they've got to be 40, 11 million devils in that. You know what I mean by that, don't you? A number without count. But you know, I read through that. He didn't say one thing about, you know, binding the devil, casting the devil out or anything. He just told them, straighten up. He said, you're carnal, you're fleshly, all that stuff. Shoot, if that had been me, I'd say, man, that's got to be the devil. He said, no, that's your old stinking flesh. That just tells us what? That if we don't present our bodies, how much it can, what? Trip us up. Because he said, I can't speak to you as spiritual people. You can't be taught spiritual things. He said, your flesh is controlling you. So we've got to learn to what? Present our bodies. The second thing, he says, you've got to renew your mind. That's what we're doing tonight. We're renewing our mind. We're learning that it's not just the pastor that has a spiritual gift or gifts, that is anointed, that has a part to play in the edification and building up of the body of Christ. That we all have a place. We all have gifts. We all have an anointing. We all have a responsibility and a stewardship. And that if any one of us who do not take our place, it diminishes the strength and the blessing of the body. So, you know, you can go and hide your talent, but you know what? You're robbing us. You're not just robbing yourself, you're robbing us. You want to just sit and listen and never get involved using your gift? You know what you're doing? You're robbing yourself and you're robbing us. Because if you see, this is why we need to go to church where we know that God sent us there. Because if he sent us there, that means he's got a purpose for the gift he's put within you. And if that purpose is not activated, it's going to diminish the ability of that church to fulfill its purpose. Isn't that right? And so that's, you know, we need to understand that. And, you know, that way we wouldn't all get our feelings hurt, would we? Instead of leaving for a wrong reason, well, I just don't like the way he preaches. Let's do it for the right reasons. Just say, you know what? You know, God's sending me over here. This is my gifting. I believe this is what God's placing me. You know, because the Bible says he places each one of us in the body as he wills. Isn't that right? It says he wills. I'm not trying to force you into anything. I'm just endeavoring to open your understanding maybe to what the scriptures are saying. And then what? We just go where God directs us. But we need to understand when we go there, God has a purpose for us. Yes, we're going to receive. That's true. But it's beyond that. It's more than that. It's also what's in me is going to make a difference in that body. And that if I don't get my gifts in motion, if I don't get them going, then the body's going to suffer. This is why I say I don't want to be a program-driven church. I want to be a ministry-driven church. And the ministry is going to be based on the gifting. That's why we can't duplicate, you know, every other church. Because the gift mix will be different. Now, there'll be similar things, won't there? There'll be prayer, there'll be healing, the word will be taught and so forth. But it'll be different because what? The giftings will, and it will be different. And so as the giftings begin to manifest, you know what? We begin to see what? The church takes on a personality, doesn't it? And we begin to see the personality of the church come out. And, of course, what we have seen too much in the modern church is one personality coming out. Isn't that right? Usually the preacher, the pastor. It's one personality. And if it's a strong enough, charismatic enough, gifted enough personality, then, you know, it's amazing what it can drive. But I don't believe that, from what I understand anyway of the scriptures, I don't believe that is God's best. That the personality should be what? All of the gifts that's in the body, finding their place, being manifest, visible, shining their light, then we take on a personality that God intended. Amen? All right. Well, I got to stop there. The last one, renew your mind. Then the last thing he said there, think correctly concerning your calling. You see it there in your notes. That way there's no competition. Amen? There's no competition. I'm not in competition with you because God's called you to do and anointed you in a unique and special way. So you're not in competition with me. I'm not in competition with you. We're just each of us endeavoring to be obedient to God in using our gifts and callings. Amen? And when we do that, I believe this, we complement one another. Instead of competition, we complement. Isn't that right? It's like when you get dressed, your right and your left hand. They work together, don't they? You know, you should. Good point. Yeah. You know, if your left hand starts slapping you around, you know something's wrong. Isn't that right? Whoa, we got a problem here. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, the usher's going to come. They're already ahead of me. If you would like to give, we're going to give you an opportunity to give. Let me say this. Next week and probably the next two Wednesdays, we're going to be assessing the spiritual gifts test. So if you've already filled yours out, bring it with you. If you haven't, get a copy, fill it out. And next week we're going to start going through this and talking about it, what it means. We're going to look at possibly what gifts it may be revealing that you have, what you need to do with those gifts, how you can get those gifts in motion and get them going. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, well, how do I get started? Well, we're going to talk about it to help you. But one of the things we want to do here at Grace is to create an atmosphere that encourages you to. That encourages you, that makes a place for your gift, that makes a place for what God's called you, that we want to recognize it. We want to validate that. We want to esteem that. And if in any way we can help you grow in that, we want to do that too. That way you'll be a whole lot less frustrated and a lot more fulfilled. Let's pray over our giving. Father, thank you. For those who are giving tonight, we thank you, Lord, for the gifts. We give them to you. We ask that you receive them, Father. May our giving be well-pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. Come along real quickly. We're going to let you go. Went over 7 minutes tonight. Sorry about that. Well, I know people work, you're working all day. You got things to do. Don't want to abuse your time. Hallelujah. How are we doing? We're done, guys? You can stand up if you would, please. Father, I'm so thankful for all of your people here at Grace. Not just those who are here tonight, but all your people you've sent to Grace. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you help us to understand all of the varied gifts and manifestations in our midst. Lord, help us to appreciate them, to value them. Lord, we're not in competition. We're working together. We esteem one another. We esteem the gifts. And Lord, help us to develop them and to see them energized and put in motion here and to see the benefit come to make this body strong and to fulfill the purpose you've called us to. Lord, we're not going to look to some other church to see what we should be doing, but we're going to look to the gifts of God placed in our midst to show us what we are to be doing. Help us in this, Lord. Give us wisdom in the doing of it as well as the understanding of it. Lord, I pray this over everyone who belongs to Grace and all those you will send. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, guys. God bless you. Have a good week.